You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, some analysts fear a new arms race after the U.S. and Russia both pulled out of a nearly 30-year-old treaty. We'll get the latest on nuclear arms agreements and disagreements. First, many of us might put off paying a visit to the doctor for one reason or another, but for LGBTQ patients, there can be even more anxiety surrounding a doctor's visit. Dr. Kathy Oriel is a family doctor at her own private practice, Oriel Medicine, located in Madison. She specializes in treating LGBTQ patients and has 20 years of prior experience in the UW healthcare system. She joins us now in our studio. Dr. Oriel, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So, talking to your patients, past and present, what kind of concerns have you heard from people about their experiences in the healthcare system if they're lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or non-binary?
Oh, okay. That's kind of a career's worth of question, but let me try to focus. And let me really focus on trans and non-binary people first. And the thing that I think that most folks aren't aware of is that it is absolutely legal currently in Wisconsin for healthcare insurers to say, we won't cover any services related to gender. So we won't cover hormones, we won't cover counseling related to gender, and we're certainly not going to cover any surgeries. So that's one thing. I mean, just blatant non-coverage of services that every major medical association agrees are without question therapeutic and medically necessary.
And then how about just treatment once, setting aside the payment, which is a big deal, treatment in the medical system? It sounds like it varies widely.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, the majority of people in healthcare are there because they want to provide good care, but certainly we all come with our own biases. And, you know, especially in big systems where you're checking in at the front desk and then you're checking in the back with a second receptionist and then you've got the nurse, to have to explain to people over and over why the name you prefer to be called is not what's written on your chart, and the way you appear may not match the gender marker in the chart, is just emotionally exhausting. And I mean, most people don't find healthcare settings really comfortable places to be anyways.
Right, because you're, in theory, coming in with something that you're stressed about to begin with, quite apart from the issues you just mentioned. Anybody going to a doctor, they're there not just for fun.
Yeah. Let's be clear. And the same sort of biases, I would say, regarding gender, regarding sexual orientation. The other piece of the work I do is as a board-certified addiction medicine doctor, so people struggling with substances, doctors, nurses, healthcare providers may still make judgments about people until they've really heard their story.
Is there something about it seems like we have larger and larger healthcare systems with more and more need to put it in the electronic records and things like that. Is there just something structural there built in that makes it harder to hear that personal story, whether it's being non-binary or whether it's addiction?
Well, again, okay, I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but it used to be when there was personal information that I wanted to remember. For instance, had a gay man who was a parent, I would right in the inside of the Manila chart what that partner's name is, but because I knew that that person, because of their sexual orientation, could lose parental rights, I didn't put that in the formal medical record. Now with an electronic medical record, which again has many safety advantages, you can actually put a word in and search for any word. Cocaine, you know, somebody's been clean and sober for 15 years and you search cocaine and all of a sudden they've got stigma. So those are some of the concerns.
Talking to Dr. Kathy Oriel with the private practice Oriel Medicine, talking about treating transgender and non-binary patients and maybe how the healthcare system can do better. So talk about when you set off on your own, not an easy thing to do in this day and age in the doctoring business for any reason. What were some of the things you were going to try to focus on?
Well, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to do is get back to a more personalized model. And especially when you're taking care of vulnerable people, it's really nice that the folks who greet them know their name and know their story. I also had concerns regarding the way, now the medical term is called gender dysphoria, and that is a psychiatric terminology that says dysphoria, meaning people are unhappy with certain parts of the body they currently have. Now, a very witty patient of mine said, well, I'm not gender dysphoric anymore, I'm gender euphoric. And what was happening is that I was being told that I needed to include that diagnosis during visits that really didn't have anything to do with gender. Literally last week, a patient of mine who transitioned 15 years ago, so you put 10 men in a line, you could not tell which man this person is, went to the urgent care because he had a leg injury. And I had been very careful in his medical record, and I'm very careful in general to try not to put pejorative language in. But at the urgent care with his leg pain, it said, reason for visit, one, leg pain. Reason number two, gender identity disorder. And I thought, didn't have anything to do with what gender he was.
Do you have advice? I mean, one solution is to go off and start a separate practice. Do you have, not everybody's going to do that. Not everybody's going to go to that practice. Do you have advice for larger healthcare providers on how they can maybe overcome some of these issues of stigma, of these particular medical codes you were just talking about?
Yeah, you know, and I think we've moved a really long way. I know that certainly just within Madison, very fortunately, most healthcare systems acknowledge that this is medically necessary care. So that's really important. You know, the UW now has a surgeon who's doing gender confirmation surgery. The pediatric physicians at UW have a clinic for kids. I think just asking folks, you know, what name do you prefer to be called, and having little signs that just say this is a safe space are incredibly powerful for folks.
I want to bring on a caller now. We've got Mark on the line in Bloomer. Mark, hi.
Hi. I'm a hospice chaplain, and recently I posted an article about end-of-life care for LGBTQ people, and one of the members of the group just absolutely went right-wing conservative crazy, and I was so sad. And I'm wondering how somebody like myself, I'm not in private practice, but how does a person get out there so people know there's a safe place for them to come?
Wow. I mean, that's a great question. I think some of the open-ended questions that can be helpful for anyone are, you know, who's supportive of you? Who are the important people in your life? Those are very generalized questions that can then get you know, to who they want to be involved. You know, this is a huge issue as well in medical treatment center, or excuse me, addiction treatment centers, which very, for understandable reasons, tend to be very gendered. So I think, again, small signals, as cliche as they are now, like rainbow flags, and there are some other gender welcoming signs that can be used, can just, again, de-escalate people's anxiety in a way that's really helpful.
Mark, thanks a lot for that call. Dr. Oriel, as we start to wrap up, what advice do you have if there's a healthcare practitioner listening right now and they don't know how to approach issues related to, say, a transgender patient, whether it's for that leg or for a gender-related issue? What would you say to them?
You know, I think the first thing is to acknowledge, thank you for letting me know about this. And that really recognizes the courage of a trans or non-binary person to share with a healthcare provider that information. The second thing is to not run out of the room and freak out. That happens. So to say, hey, I want to help you be your best self, and I don't have that information right now, but I'll get back to you with resources and we'll get you to somebody who can help you help meet your needs.
Dr. Oriel, thanks a lot for joining us today in the studio.
Thanks so much.
Dr. Kathy Oriel is a family doctor at her own private practice, Oriel Medicine. She joined us to talk about providing health care to transgender people. Coming up, we'll take a look at the global nuclear weapons landscape after the U.S. and Russia pulled out of a long-standing arms treaty. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time here on the Ideas Network.